Now, in that video, the women, they'd expected to find Jesus' body, and they were going to use the spices that they had to anoint his body. Now, even though in those first couple of days of that really raw and crippling grief, they were completely devoted to Jesus, and they wanted to fulfill this really important task. And because of their faithfulness, their reward was that they were actually honoured with being their very, very first witnesses of the resurrection. But what was their reaction to finding the tomb empty? In that video, that's from Mark's gospel, it says that they were trembling and they were bewildered and they were afraid. Now, when we first listen to that, we might be really surprised, because actually this is one of the most significant events in all of history. And they were afraid and they were confused. Finding the tomb empty should have been the most amazing thing that the women had ever experienced. They should have been overjoyed and dancing and celebrating, because all those prophecies had been fulfilled. Actually, it was probably hugely confusing. Because if Jesus was alive, what did this actually mean? What would happen now? What would the Romans do? Should they stay? Should they warn others? Should they shout about the news? Should they keep quiet? And they'd come to anoint his body. That was what their job was going to be today. But now, what should they do? There was no body to anoint. You know, what was their role now? And if the tomb was empty, where was Jesus? Should they go and look for him? Should they wait for him? They had so many questions, it's no wonder that they were trembling and bewildered and afraid. And even though Jesus had defeated death, and even if they understood that moment, the Romans were still ruling with an iron fist. So nothing had actually changed on that level. Their life was still very oppressed, and it was still hugely dangerous to be a follower of Jesus, even after the resurrection. So again, no wonder they were bewildered and trembling and afraid. And it's the same today, but not because of the Romans. Because life isn't easy when you're a follower of Jesus. It just suddenly doesn't become, you know, an easy gig. People still suffer hardship. We still face poverty. People get lonely. They get ill. In some countries, people are persecuted for their faith. The list goes on and on of the things that are difficult for Christians. Jesus never said it would be easy to be a Christian. But what is true is that day, the resurrection changed everything. It changed the way that we see our troubles, the way that we understand those hardships. Good Friday, a couple of days ago, wasn't the end. Actually, today was a new beginning, a new perspective, a surprise, a change. Everything changed. We've got new hope, and now there's light in the darkness. When things make us tremble or bewildered or afraid, we can lift our eyes to something that's much, much greater. Because death has been defeated and we have the promise of eternal life. We have a hope in something that supersedes any kind of doubts or attacks or anything that this world has to offer. We have a new beginning in Christ. In just Christ alone, we have that new beginning.
You know, the women were trembling and bewildered. They were fearful, but the one thing that they didn't do was to go away and hide and hope that everything went away. They still went and told the men what had happened. They still carried out what had been asked of them. And, you know, often we can feel quite fearful. We can be bewildered. We can be trembling in our call to follow Christ, especially now when we can feel quite frightened about what's happening. And quite fearful about what might happen. We can feel bewildered about what's going on and how we might ever get out of this situation. But we're called to live as people of God, and we can do that when we're bewildered. We can do that when we're trembling, and we can do it when we're fearful by taking the small steps like the women did and going and telling the men of what had happened, even though they were afraid and they didn't understand it all. And we too don't have to understand everything to be able to live the life that God has called us to live. There's a quote by one of my favourite writers, a lady called Rachel Held Evans, who sadly died last year, very young, in the age of 37, I think she was. And she said this: "But if the world is watching, we might as well tell the truth. And the truth is, the church doesn't offer a cure. It doesn't offer a quick fix. The church offers death and resurrection. The church offers the messy, inconvenient, gut-wrenching, never-ending work of healing and reconciliation. And this is the work that we are called to. not something that offers a magic cure to people or says that everything will be all right, but a hard work that seeks to reconcile people, that seeks to bring healing and wholeness. And sometimes that can be done when we're feeling brilliant and wonderful and we know that Jesus can do it. But at other times it can be done when we're feeling we're not sure where God is in all of this and we're not sure how God is going to work. But we can cling on to him and we can still continue to bring healing and reconciliation to those around us.